been asked, I'm an addict, my name's Tom, and Jim and I have been asked to do a little presentation on the service structure, the upheavals, the benefits, the how it's come about, where it was, what's happening with it now. Jim is going to take the early days.
My name's Jim Manatic. And when I first got involved with structural service, there really wasn't any structural service all across the fellowship. Some places had it. Other places were doing their own thing. And a whole lot of places were just having meetings and, you know, didn't even have area service committees. We took a look at, I guess I told my story a little bit earlier. We took a look at the tree, the NA tree, and the Blue Service Manual, which was current at the time. And what we saw and what we were told about was a service structure where the member was the decision maker through their group. And then area service committees took the direction of members through their group and performed the services that the group couldn't perform themselves. And area committees then got together with other areas and formed regions where RSRs, regional service representatives, took the voice of the fellowship to the World Service Conference. Now, there weren't a whole lot of them until around 1982. 1981, 1982 was when this fellowship began to man or populate our service structure as it was designed in the beginning. And it was an upside-down pyramid with the members making decisions at the top through their groups, passing on their group conscience or their decisions to areas which took their instruction, and then areas banding together into regions to pass on the group conscience of the fellowship to the World Service Conference. Whether it be groups through ad hoc committees or areas through established committees, most everybody did those things that we still do in many ways in service. They had hospital and institution committees, or carried the message into hospitals and institutions, some in groups, some in areas. And perhaps the region would coordinate what was going on in that broader geographic division. And then the World Service Conference took its hospital and institution information and experience from the regions and shared it with the rest of the fellowship. So if something was going on in Texas that worked really well, we could learn about it in Ohio, or you could learn about it here in Florida and maybe give it a try if it suited you. But it was all about group conscience. Any idea that we had at World Service Conference or at region was then passed on to areas and passed on to groups for a decision. And what we attempted to do, and we weren't always very good at it, but what we tried to do was to give everybody who's making the decision. Okay, I'll be fast. To give the people who were making the decision at the group level a pro and a con, as dispassionately as we possibly could so as not to influence their vote. Now, I'm sure some were better at that than others, and sometimes people supported things really strong and made a pitch really strong. I'm not saying that we weren't human, but our service structure was an upside-down pyramid. And up through the Middle 80s, this was how service was performed in our fellowship. Then a few things happened. And Tom's going to talk about the current proposed service structure. I'm going to share just a little bit about what led up to that. Our friend Lee wrote the concepts. And then our friend Lee wrote a guide to service, as directed by his employers at the World Service Office. These things weren't developed through the current structure, from the groups down to the areas, down to the regions, to World Service Conference, but rather from the office and its employees through the World Service Conference to the areas, to the regions, areas, and groups. Effectively, the process was beginning to turn that pyramid upside down, like a corporate structure. A lot of us, when we come into the fellowship, we're not acquainted with the way a fellowship or something, some organization, allows the member to be the ultimate director and groups of members to direct services through broader geographic regions. What we're acquainted with is government. What we're acquainted with is corporate policy, which goes top down rather than bottom up. That's not how our service structure was designed. Our service structure was designed as a bottom up inverted pyramid. And it functioned pretty well, but you know, the problem is we get ideas and we say, wow, it would be good if we had this service. And if we're in power, we want that idea to happen quickly, right now, so it can help folks. And group conscience doesn't work that way. It's slow. It's ponderous. Oftentimes, the answer is, I don't understand. Explain it better to me. Or let's wait a while. Let's discuss it more. And that doesn't suit the folks that want to do it now. And anybody that's been involved in structural service has had that great idea. Ooh, let's do it now. But that doesn't work with group conscience. Group conscience is a slow, patient, ponderous way of performance service. However, in the final analysis, we all think, or the majority of us think, that it's something right to do with the group conscience process and the inverted pyramid. Tom's going to talk about what this proposed SSP or new service project, or what I like to call it. Anybody know about World War II? I like to call it the SS project.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I like to call it that myself. I was asked to do this. I don't feel like I'm the best person to do it, but I'm told that I know as much as anybody about it. The reason I'm here is because I was going to bring one of those guys that donated blood from Missouri. What's Jim Nichols got clean? 42 years. But he wasn't able to make it. And that my two friends that I asked to go to, they backed out. So I said, well, hell, I'm going anyway. So I drove down here. And so since I was here, Billy asked me if I would talk about this. So believe me, I don't feel like the authority on this. So it'll be real quick and we can get to your questions. All of them, okay? The idea, okay, I've been clean like 27 years. And I got clean accidentally in Jefferson City, Missouri. That's where I still live. And the great thing about Narcotics Anonymous service to me was I felt like what I had to contribute mattered. You know what? And that's a great feeling. That's better than going and voting for president, in my book. Because it seemed like I could go to group conscience and vote, and I felt like there was really maybe something going to happen as a result. Or I could make a motion. You know, I think that they should make that just for today, laminated, and put it in with the group readings. Hey, what a great idea, huh? I think it's in all the group readings now, isn't it? It didn't used to be that way. It started from a group in Jefferson City with that idea. It took some time, you know, and they mailed me one of the first copies of it, right? So I'm reading it in my living room, and I have to call WSO and ask them to go into the storeroom and get a copy of it and read it to me. Oh, there's a typo. Yeah. So they had to take all the new ones that they made and throw them away and send me a new one that was not, that didn't have a typo in it. So, I found out getting involved, you can make a little bit of a difference. And I think a lot of groups read that just for today at their meetings, you know. Accidentally I was the ASR alternate for the Jefferson City area with 6 months clean. And I was at my first regional service committee meeting as an ASR alternate. I told the girl who volunteered to be the ASR, I said, I got 6 months clean when they were doing the key tags. Because we didn't even know they had key tags. And she said, we'll get you a key tag. So I got up and I got my 6 month key tag at my first regional. And I've been involved pretty much since then. But around 1992 or 93, they proposed a worldwide service inventory. Shut everything else down. Shut everything else down and let's inventory our services. And once they did that, they changed a lot of stuff. What used to be considered a regional representative to the World Service Conference was now considered a regional delegate to the World Service Conference. And what used to be considered an area service representative, ASR, that went from the area to the region was now considered a regional committee member. You know, and you know, God, I hope this didn't start with some stuff that I was talking to a girl who wound up being the policy chair for World Service Conference from Missouri, you know, just shooting a breeze over coffee. But, you know, we were talking about stuff like this, and next thing I know, I go, well, that sounds familiar. What? That's nonsense, though. How's that happening from there? And but all that stuff passed. That was 20 years ago. And so 20 years ago, when all that changed, I didn't feel like I was still in the same fellowship. You know, when we're sending somebody to the World Service Conference, that's not representing us, but being a member of that entity called the World Service Conference. And we started funding all of them so that NAS, or the World Service Office at that time, was then becoming or ingratiating themselves to those particular members as they are the host for the World Service Conference, as opposed to being the help at the World Service Conference. So they show up feeling a debt of gratitude for NAS mailing them a plane ticket and putting them up at a hotel and all of this for, was it a week or 10 days back then? It's like 10 days now. What is it, Jeff? 10 days or a week?
World Service Conference.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I don't know. But it was quite some time. So these people show up and they feel like, well, what can I do to help you in return for that plane ticket and being so nice to me and making me feel special and maybe writing my name down as being a workshop chair at the World Convention or something like that. You know, who knows? Who knows what's going on? So the vote that's taken place on conference agenda report items, then when they show up, if it doesn't look like the vote's going to go the way that's going to be most financially acceptable for the corporation known as NAWS, then they're probably going to be saying, you know, well, let's table that till tomorrow so we can get the Argentinians and the South Americans and the Swedes and all these other places to see the light that we really need to get this motion passed. So because they're not obligated to go there and carry our voice anymore. And so I got out of service. You know, I never got out of service. I've been on the phone line for 25 years. You know, still get phone line calls. Did H&I work like crazy. Started conventions. I did got a lot of stuff going, and still I'm treasurer of my home group, you know, do stuff. I still am involved, but I stopped really paying attention when all that stuff went down. All right, fast forward to 2010. And, well, actually, maybe 2009 or somewhere around in there. And I heard that they were redoing In Times of Illness. And I've been in motorcycle wrecks, car accidents, injuries, back injuries. I've had 6 or 7 back surgeries. You know what I mean? I came to in the middle of a back surgery because my tolerance is this high. And the anesthesiologist, and you know, I tell them, I'm an addict. And they're like, what are you telling me that for? Well, I think they realized that when I came to, and they go, you are awake, aren't you? But then they finished the back surgery with me awake. So I wanted to input that particular piece of literature. And I just found out about it. So I called NAWS up, and I said, hey, is there still time? Nope. Deadline was yesterday. Their window of opportunity for inputting our literature had been narrowed down. It was a year, wasn't it, for input. And then they put out a review or approval form. So, you know, valuable experience, strength, and hope on In Times of Illness was, we don't want it. You know, a day late. A day after their window of opportunity. So I didn't let that deter me. I still was, you know, listening to my what's happening. Then next thing you know, I hear they're talking about changing the service structure again. I go, oh, right. You know, well, and so they wanted to know what anybody thought would be a good idea, how we could change this. Well, for years and years and years, you know, I thought Jim actually needed to pee when he was doing this a minute ago, but he was, excited. I thought for years and years and years that Narcotics Anonymous is here to stay. We're not going anywhere. We're growing. If anything, we're growing. We're not diminishing. Why do we continue to pretend like we're just kind of temporarily here? And by doing that, by saying that, what I mean is we've got, I don't know how many helplines you've got in Florida. You probably got 30 in Florida. Well, I did the math. And I think it was like 800 different telephone numbers for Narcotics Anonymous in the United States. We need one. 1-800, get help. Whatever, you know. So I call up NAWS, and this is my idea. You know, you were asked, you wanted some input on this. So I call them up. That's not the kind of information we really wanted to hear, you know. We don't want to hear none of this. We're changing everything. You know, that what's now known as the area will be a LSU or a GSU. What's now known as a region will be a state or provincial body. And then, of course, I guess it'll still be the World Service Conference. And there's a thing they call intermediate body, but they don't really have anything written down about what that is. But they want us to approve it. Let's keep going with this. They told us in 2010 that this project could be done. Or was it 2008? They told us a couple years ago. That's the way to say it, isn't it, Jeff? I'm learning. That they can get this project done by the World Service Conference in 2012 for $150,000. World Service Conference 2012 has come and gone, and they've spent well over $240,000, I believe it is. And so, and now they've got two more years to grease it up well enough to where they can slip it by us. I think we need to be paying attention and really holding our feet to the fire about these changes. Because, I mean, what I think is going on is the entire service structure is full of people who know what's happening. Well, 10 years ago, or was it 20 years ago, the service structure was full of a lot of people who knew what was happening. That's not good. If you got all these people who know what's happening, if you want to make a big change in stuff. And so I'm afraid there may be some big changes that maybe it's this drug replacement therapy. You know, maybe it's something to do with financing the office through online literature sales. I don't know. But all I do know is that the area that I'm a part of functions extremely well. The area that I helped start in 1986 has split into, there's now three areas. And all three of those areas are functioning quite well. And two of them are sharing a helpline. So there's three helplines now, and they're all doing PI work, they're all doing H&I work, they're all doing these things, even though back 10 years ago, they did away with regional H&I, PI, literature, all of those things. And it's become a like issue-oriented. How does it? It's not issue-oriented, but see, I told you I wasn't the person to do this. I'm trying to be. Well, that's another thing they've started too. This fellowship issue, FID, is it fellowship discussion issue? You know, IDT, issue discussion topic. Yeah, and it's like, who gets to create those? You know. The RDs, when they get there, I guess we can suggest to the RD before they go that we'd like the issue discussion topic to be this. Yeah. 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 Right now, the thing is, one of the IDTs is group consciousness. I think I'm disturbing Jim over here. He's going like, I haven't heard this stuff. And, I mean, it's disturbing to me. The issue discussion topic for this cycle right now, one of them is group conscience. Well, what is one of the things that you hear so often as being what they want to change? Group conscience. They want to turn it into consensus-based decision making, CBDM. You know, and consensus-based decision making is where they keep talking about something and tell you, okay, do it. Whatever it is you want to go ahead. That's what happened to me in the 90s. I said, well, okay, you got it. You know, I can't keep doing this. They're changing. Well, what does it sound like to you? Group conscience versus consensus based decision making. No, it's the process. It's everything. Yeah, it's everything. And so that is what they've thrown out as an IDT. Well, what was it, 2 years ago or 4 years ago that they created the IDT of our service structure? Maybe it was 6 years ago. So we can input all we want about how we don't like this idea of the new service system project, SSP. But we don't ever get to see any of that input. All the input goes to NAS, goes out to California, into a black hole. And then what you're going to hear is the issues that support the direction they want it to go in the NA, propaganda machine called the NA Way and called Nas News. There you go. And and from the world board members who show up after you invite them to come and talk. Like, we invited them to come and talk to us in the Show Me region. Guess that was a year ago. Maybe 2 years ago at our regional assembly. And they showed up, and there was so much static, bad press going on about the SS project that they showed up and they said, we're not going to talk about the SS project. What we want to do is tell you about these new lovely pamphlets that we've got. One's called, Hey, What's the Basket For? And the other one is In Times of Illness and Funding in NA or something like that. So I'm just sitting there. I'm going with the flow. And I asked a question. I said, okay, I really appreciate you being here, even though we paid your ticket to come. The region did, $500. I left out that part. But just appreciate you being here and, like knowing that you guys care. And there was a part in this piece of literature here about the NA fund flow where it says that groups should be very mindful of how we spend the fellowship's money, something like that. I said, with that in mind, can you tell me how you can justify paying an executive director for NAS Incorporated almost $250,000 a year? Well, we don't do that. That's not what we do. I've got the tax returns right here. Well, they're wrong. You filed these with the federal government, and these are 3 years old, because you can't get the most recent stuff online for free. I mean, you go to the Attorney General's website in California, download the last 10 years, or call me and I'll just give them to you, whatever, but send the link. But won't I, Jim?
You will.
So they don't want to talk about that stuff. They don't want to talk about us being, extravagant with pay like that. They don't want to talk about how the addict who still suffers is still suffering once they get here because our literature prices are so high. It costs a lot of money to get all those books. It does. It really does. I mean, and why is that? We should be able to give it to them a lot cheaper. Of course, it goes way back to when the office was suggested to move to someplace other than the most highest rent district in the United States, Los Angeles, California. Let's move it to Kansas. Cindy, is she still there? Or I think it was actually North Carolina that had a proposal, or South Carolina. Said, well, you can move it here. We got a building. You can buy the damn thing for what you're paying rent in 1 year out there in California. Well, we'd have to do this. We'd have to do that. It's not our idea, so just sit down and go away. So anyway, I gave them my input. They didn't want to hear it. Shortly after that, I heard about some people who were talking about making a change. Let's get a United States service conference. So I went to that meeting in Wichita. And I thought about it for the whole, 2 months beforehand. I go, what real crux of the biscuit here? What's the issue? What's the main goal or problem? What's causing all this riff? And it came down to a single sentence for me. And I think I shared it there in Wichita. So I met this guy, and that's pretty basically that Narcotics Anonymous used to be a fellowship that had an office, and it seems like what we've become now is an office that has a fellowship. That top-down stuff, that inverted pyramid that Jim described to you, gone. Not just in the closet. It's gone. We sent our representative to the World Service Conference with 5 or 6 proposals. You know, I made them in my home group just so that the people in the area would get an idea of these things that are going on, and all of them passed. Wow. And I became the RCM 2 years ago, too. So I just finished up my term as RCM. I got back involved once I heard they were doing all this stuff. My service commitment's up now, you know. But these things passed the area. I brought them to the region. Just more or less just thinking they will have to at least hear these motions and these intents. Went back to the 18 areas of the Show Me region. 3 months later, our next regional, they all passed. Wow. Our RD freaked out. He goes, how am I going to go up there and tell them this stuff? You know, he didn't want to. Didn't want to. But they're in the minutes. So how do all the RDs in good faith and conscience as being what I still consider a representative of the region, say when a proposal is made that the World Convention give a detailed financial report as opposed to a summary report intent, if they can lose $800,000, they should be able to tell us exactly how they lost it. How does that not even merit discussion at the conference? How does the idea of putting the World Board minutes online for everybody's viewing pleasure intent, that how can we ensure that they're being directly responsible to those they serve if we can't even read their minutes? How does that not even get discussed? So we've got to take our service structure and nurture it. Right, Billy? Right? That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, what I just said, right, yeah. Yeah, it's all sold. And I gave some away. But taking our service structure back entails everybody here learning what is not only about to happen or what they are proposing, but how we got to where we are right now. What happened? What happened to that top-down stuff? You know, when I felt like what I had to say mattered. You know, can you imagine if anybody here, like I spent 20 minutes writing those 6 motions before my group conscience that night. Right? 20 minutes out of my life. And everybody in my home group goes, yeah, that sounds great. I mean, unanimously. Unanimously at the area. And, I pretty damn close at the region. So that's a lot. That is 800 meetings worth of addicts who all said, those are good ideas. You know? And then they go to the World Service Conference and they just not even talked about it. I mean, and I'm supposed to still feel like what I have to say counts or matters. And I can. I guess we're question and answer right now. By not giving up, like I did. Like I did. 10 years ago, I gave up.
Stop buying their literature. Go to the website and get real NA literature and print it in your group or your area and stop funding the dragon. Well, he's a lawyer.
I'm not. I'm a politician. Even more loved. You need to talk to, where'd Jeff go? Oh, Jeff? No, he's gone. Jeff's heard enough. Talk to Jeff. He lives right around here somewhere. Talk to Vito.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And one of the responses, one of the grassroots something that in our groups, our area, if we decide to take some of that basket money and purchase some paper and use somebody's computer and printer, we could actually make a difference by printing our own stuff within the autonomy of our own groups? Are you actually saying that?
Yeah, we do.
If we go parks, then we can do it. Okay, well, this is what I'm going to take back. This is because this we can do now.
Yes.
Okay.
Take it back.
Then
take it back.
That's a wonderful suggestion on how to get our shit back.
You know, the groups, yes. That's in that stuff that Billy was talking about. Yeah. And you know what then you could do with the extra money that you now are not spending on literature perhaps? Be fully self-supporting in paying better rent. You could give them a bonus of $50 when there's a heat wave. The church or the YMCA or wherever you guys meet.
We're printing our own literature.
Free. And made available free.
And now, it's set up that anything left over is donated to areas.
No, they changed that on us, too. They suggested that you break it up. Some to the area, some to the region, some to the world. And that's it. Yeah, right. But they broke that up in one of those pamphlets they recently wrote, where it used to be the fund flow was whatever you don't need at the group, you pass on to the area. Whatever the area doesn't need to sustain themselves after holding on to a prudent reserve, they pass on to the region. And the region would do the same and pass on to the world. So that has been circumvented by a piece of literature that was written in the last 10 years, where now the fund flow is suggested. I don't know, is it the treasurer's report or is it the, hey, what's the basket for? It's a couple of different places in our literature where they didn't try, it's in our literature. Right.
Oh, and in case you didn't know, those service pamphlets don't come out to you for a vote. They just get sent to you or sold to you from the office. They don't require a group conscience.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know that it's proven process on that.
I guess my question is, if we were to print our own and to stop, because I'm seeing this anyhow as a stopping of the money flow to NAWS, where if we were saving and conserving at the local level, we're still passing that money up the food chain. And where can we actively act to cut that?
The dollar institution from literature giving.
Well, I'll share with you what our group does. Our group sponsors two events every year. Next weekend, and there's flyers back there, is a 12-step retreat. And, you know, our group pays for it, so people who come, all they need to pay to register is $5. We pay for our speaker's room, we pay for the tape person's room, we fund it ourselves. Now, there's projects. We have like a steering committee, but it's like an area service committee. There's projects that we fund that require funding there, and we send money on if, in fact, group conscience agrees with the project. If there's projects, specific things that the region is doing that like the newsletter, like some other things, H&I work, that we, according to group conscience, approve of, we earmark contributions to that. But primarily we put on a traditions retreat in the fall and a 12-step retreat in the spring, and feel that our funds are accomplishing our fifth tradition purpose. Each group's autonomous. Whether you participate in service or not is up to the group. It's up to the group. Now, you might find that it's difficult to get listed on the area committee meeting list. You might have to print meeting lists yourself. For a long time, we printed a meeting list of the 7 meetings closest to our group. Now, what I'm sharing with you is the fourth tradition. Each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Now, that kind of means negatively affecting rather than positively affecting. We do our very best to positively affect other groups or NA as a whole, and we feel like we're doing that, our group conscience.
Or another thing you could do, like Billy was describing earlier, the group in Philadelphia. Find out where that group is. Mail them your extra money. Or mail them a box of literature. You know what I mean? Sure. Well, unfortunately, yeah, the last World Service Conference, I believe we gave the World Board permission in the Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust, in the holding of that trust, we gave them permission to make minor revisions. That minor revision could be something like that. I don't know. But yes, I would say yes. That there would need to be some kind of major overhaul of our literature if the World Board now purports that Narcotics Anonymous is a program of total abstinence unless prescribed otherwise.
You know what? No part of fellowship, region, or anything, ask for this. It's like concept.
Right.
Right. This is Jim DeLisa, the non-addict consultant that we pay $100,000 a year. His idea, and we're adopting it. And the thing is you know.
Slow down. Is everybody familiar with that? What he just said? Well, you want to come up here, Ken? I mean, this is really getting to the real deal.
No, what I was saying is that I'm afraid that my area, which works fine, is just going to go with the flow and adopt this new service structure, and no region or any part of the fellowship requested this. Just like the concepts, no region, the fellowship didn't request it. What this is the big idea of Jim DeLisa, a non-addict paid consultant who gets hundreds of thousands of dollars a year from NOAAs. This is his idea, and we're going to adopt it. And the thing is, you know, people tell me, oh, it's not us and them, and there's no big plot. But you know what? I look at starting with the tradition deletions, and then moving to the professional writers, and then the dissolution of the trustees and the subcommittees, and the transition of WSO to NOAAs, and then the concepts, and now this new service structure. You know what? If it looks like shit, it smells like shit, it tastes like shit, it must be shit. And you know what? It's like, You know, and then I use that because we're being fed a lot of shit. But the thing is, you know, what we're really up against is a disease of addiction. And this is a disease of addiction manifesting in a service structure. And we can paint this stuff so spiritually. And Bo told me something that I always remember. He said, we've been bringing the disease with us to meetings since we got clean. And it's learned the language. And that's what the deal is. All this stuff from world comes with all this, sounds also spiritual, like this doing away with IP29 and that medication and NA meetings, IP and stuff, how we want to be welcoming and stuff. It all sounds good and spiritual. But you know what? It's like gift wrapping a dog turd in a fancy box with beautiful wrapping paper and ribbons. And like I say, you know, it's a disease of addiction. That's what we're really up against. And you know, I was talking to Jeff, and I says, you know, if we really took serious when we elected trusted servants, if we really took serious that requirement to have working knowledge of the steps and traditions, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems. But you know, anyone who's willing, pretty much. And you know, at this point, I think the only thing we can do is withdraw, financial boycott. That's the only thing that's going to hurt them. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, we took AA's concepts, but we changed them. AA had a concept that said, if you don't like what the structure's doing, don't finance it. Well, we would never say that, you know. But you know what? Maybe we should, we should think about that.
And I think the precepts written by Greg P. did say that about the purse strings. And the, you know, to just to clarify what you may think is like, well, how did that happen? Well, what he said is absolutely true. No region asked for this thing. It was the World Board that at the World Service Conference in 2008, they motioned and seconded. How do they do that, really? You know, it ought to be a rule about they can't make a motion and second their own motion that we do this SS project. So, it wasn't a region. And get this, you know, we're not even talking about the changes LSU, GSU, you know, and they're trying to make a fix for the entire world. And really, there's not a problem that I think the fellowship in the United States has been screaming about. What they've been screaming about is apathy, according to the what was sent to the black hole in California. That's what they told us is what they received. That there's an atmosphere of apathy. And somehow they think this is going to fix that apathy. But when you look at, I drove from Pensacola to here yesterday. Wow. Just think of that was your region. You know, you had to drive, let's say, to Jacksonville, and they had to drive over from Pensacola for a regional. You know, or look at California. I think there's five regions there, too. But they had to go to one place, a state body. You know, and then you got these intermediate bodies that they don't even know anything about. But they keep trying to sell it to us. It's like a CEO who sees that he's made a bad decision. But in order to save his face, he's got to keep moving that way with that decision. He cannot turn around and say, you know what, it's not a good idea. You know, the amount of money that's been spent so far, it's like, I'd say $300,000 probably by this point, you know. And it's so weird how the World Board meets shortly after the World Service Conference is every 2 years meeting. And what's the first thing on their agenda? The stuff about Hazleton's selling all the basic text and we got to keep them happy in Time Magazine and Bulletin 29 and drug replacement therapy. And it's like, all this has happened. Now the conference won't happen again for 2 years. 2 years. We've been at this for quite some time. We're supposed to be done. Bo's got one more question or issue he'd like to discuss.
Thank you. My name is Bo and I'm an addict. And I've learned a lot in the last couple of hours and tried to follow the thread of the whole thing. I think there's some other sides to this that I haven't heard yet. One is the reason the World Board's ignoring you is because they get most of their money from the treatment center. So you don't really matter. You just don't even count. I mean, like, at most, including donations, literature sales, and all that, you contribute about $3 million. They get $12 million from the treatment industry. Guess what? So, but just for the spirit of the moment and the work that these guys performed on your behalf, if you wanted to affect the financial dynamics, maybe in a little bit more of a proactive and creative way, you don't just say, don't order literature from them, but you design the exact plan that you would go to a local printer, here's a master pack, and you would say, I want 100 copies of each, and you can reduce things like the basic text to something like the baby blue. Real easy. I mean, I can do that kind of work in an hour or two. You know, bigger works take longer. But you just make a master package and you just put those out to thousands of places. And you have dances and you have little fundraiser deals and let's have a barbecue and this, that, and the other. And pretty soon you've got hundreds and hundreds of groups that are self-supporting. And they don't have to order anything from anybody. Now that doesn't really hurt their budget. They're still selling to the treatment industry. You are their stage prop. Knowledge is a marketing team. That's all they do, to sell you ideas and keep you off balance and make new proposals. That's all the SSP is. Hey, let's make everything into a mini board. I mean, it's not too smart, but I mean, it's enough to confuse you, like you're going to think, what in the hell are they doing? Why would they do that? That's so stupid. But if it throws you, if it keeps you off balance, and then you won't listen to these guys, they sound kind of radical. Gee, gosh, and maybe they wouldn't be pulling anything on us. Well, sure they would. People steal money all the damn time. And it ain't much, but $12 million, enough to get the attention of a sneak thief. It's not respectable. I don't like them. I don't respect their work. I've watched them drain the fellowship for 30 fucking years. It's not funny anymore. And now they're deadening. They want to rewrite our program to suit an outside enterprise. Now, I remember 5 or 10 years ago, you guys would have howled. What's happened is you've been like conditioned to just accept it. And, I followed it very closely, the conference this year, and it was just pathetic. Excuse me, wait, let's have a straw poll. Just to throw you off balance. And then when they got you just softened up, call for a vote. I mean, it was just dumb. And those poor devoted people were just trying their damnedest to be surrendered and loyal and devoted and hope for a positive income because they really wanted to serve you. But they didn't realize what they were up against. They're up against a power structure, not a service structure, that was using advertising and political techniques on you and paying an outsider to develop maneuvers. Like, at Marlick, they're passing out new literature, just to selected people, just as a marketing tool. That's all. So if you got really smart about it and you got major part of the fellowship that would start giving some a package. So do the footwork and do the planning for them and then they can follow directions. They can do that. But don't expect them to design it independently. Thousand different places, just one place, and put out a package. And the thing there is they lose their grip on us. They lose their front. You are their front. But you are also potentially a standalone fellowship, spiritual fellowship. Now, it's kind of tough about them having to, bite the big one about losing their grip on the marketplace, but it'd be real good for you to do that because it puts you back on your feet and you would have to be responsible and you'd be sticking your neck out a little bit. But it's an easier way than for somebody else to lead you around by the nose. And get creative and start thinking and praying for solutions because we don't have to stand for this. Thank you.
Thank you. We got to wind this up for the facility. I want to thank everybody who came and participated. And listen, if you have questions that haven't been answered, input to those websites, get our numbers. We may not have answers, but prayer and meditation and participating in Real NA will give us all answers. So let's circle it up here and do a prayer to end it.